Hello and welcome to another episode of Investing with IBD. It's Justin Nielsen here, your host. And today we're going to be talking about charts and how to learn how to read them. It's one of those things, it might take just a few minutes to kind of get the idea of what's happening with a chart, but it really takes a lifetime to master. And to help us along with that, of course, as he does every week, Arusha Pieris is going to be joining us. He is an O'Neill Global Advisors Portfolio Manager. How are you doing, Arusha?
I'm doing well, Justin. And yeah, it's going to probably take a little bit more than a few minutes to master.
More than a few minutes? Yeah, exactly. Right, yeah. You're not going to read How to Make Money in Stocks by Bill O'Neill and look at those first 100 charts in the first chapter and say, oh, I got this. You know, exactly. No problem. Well, and it's January 17th, 2024. And we're actually taping this during market hours. We had to kind of shift our schedule around a little bit. So we're going to try not to be too distracted about what's continuing to go on the market. And also to kind of help us keep focused and not distracted is going to be Arnie Gutierrez, who's joining us today as our special guest. So Arnie, he's IBD Senior Premium Product Coach. Gosh, Arnie, how long have you been working it?
I'm going on 20 years now.
You're going on 20 years. He's been around for a while.
It's been a blessing. Absolutely. Yeah. 20 years. I grew up here. So that's your first job out of college and, you know, not looking back. Love the market. Love the charts. Yeah, it's been good to me.
Yeah. So we're going to get a lot of the insights. I mean, of course, Arnie has, he's been there since we had, you know, daily graphs. Before MarketSmith, it was daily graphs, and you had the books that were getting out. You were actually putting the labels,
my first job, I'd write the labels, and I hated it. I was like, FedEx labels, UPS labels, and then we have to have everything worse. But I remember the blue and the green book.
And of course, you've seen that transition go from, you know, the Daily Graphs product to Daily Graphs Online to now the MarketSmith and all of the tools that got added along the way. And of course, you've been talking with subscribers along the way. So we're going to get into a lot of that in our second segment, what he's learned during his, two decades here now with IBD and Daily Graphs, MarketSmith, you know, name your company or iteration of it. But before we get into that, let's get a little bit into the market and just kind of get our bearings a little bit. And, we can start with the NASDAQ. And of course, you know, just to kind of catch everybody up, we kind of had a nice rally that started November 1st, you know, with the follow through day, really great, you know, start there, strong November, a decent December, January, first of the year started and things kind of pulled back pretty sharply, but then it seemed like things were rebounding, but maybe it's don't count your chickens before they hatch type situation. So what's your take right now, Arnie, given where we're at?
You know, I think we're going through a pullback. You know, it's I would love to use the word profit taking. I think we've already hit that phase, profit taking. Just, you know, what we're doing is probably seeing a lot of rebalancing, a lot of different portfolios out there. So first couple of weeks of January gets a little fidgety. Volatility is going to be here. And we also in a presidential year. So in my years here, I always know that January is going to be a little funky. Be cautious, be patient, give it a little bit more room. But looking at the NASDAQ today, I will be looking at the 21-day and the 50-day moving is creeping up, sloping up with it as well. So will I be surprised that it pulls back to the 50-day? Absolutely not, not in this type of environment. Everything still looks strong, though. A lot of the leaders are acting right, though. That's what's getting me. A lot of big cap stocks, NVIDIA, AMD, you know, you got these big companies, these tech companies looking very, very solid. So when you start seeing that, you know, it's a positive sign. You know, and Bill talks about it, how to make money in stocks. It's when you start seeing the smaller cap, mid cap stock taking the lead. That's when it's a sign of concern. Everything's looking good. Consolidations are taking place. Is the IWM is pulling back and finding support at the 50 day, which I expect. And I'm assuming that has to do with a lot with earnings expectations. Are the Fed going to cut? You got a lot of these small companies that really rely on that. So there's a lot of speculation out there, but none of the rules have been broken because I am looking at the 50-day moving average, especially with the indices to see how I react as far as how aggressive I want to get. But I also look at the 21-day to gauge the momentum of the indices as well.
So Arnie, with this pullback or this consolidation that we're seeing in the market right now, how are you preparing and planning during this consolidation?
I'm looking at my watch list, right? I have a watch list really set to go. And then I'm looking at my portfolio. I want to see how my portfolio reacts to this the next couple of weeks. But I'm not going to make a big decision on anything. I may take a little bit off, just, you know, manage my risk and see how everything reacts. But there's some leaders looking really good right now. I'm giving my leaders space. I've earned the right, and I tell myself that I've earned the right to give them a little bit of space, like the NVIDIAs out there, the AMDs, the DDOGs, and so forth. So when you start looking at this, Abercrombie & Fitch, ANF, has been one of my biggest leaders as well. I'm going to take a seat back and see what's taking place. But again, there's going to be a lot of space. I think we're still in the beginning of something that could be very, very big. I don't like using the word bullish or bearish or anything like that. I think the trend is very strong here, and the leadership is telling me that right now.
Yeah. So, you know, you mentioned Abercrombie and Fitch right here. Is there anything fundamental or story wise that you've noticed? I know with your daughters, have you heard from her?
Yeah.
Are you wearing the jeans?
Yeah.
Are you wearing the jeans?
I'm just trying like to figure this out too. It's like, it's gone on this unbelievable run, and I know the Hollister brand has been doing pretty well, but it's been hard to kind of wrap my head around why this one is acting like a tech stock.
We had the retail report come out today. It's booming, right? The retail report came out very, very strong, more than expected. But that's beside the point. As far as me 20 years ago, when I first started at O'Neill, could I fit into Abercrombie Fitch pants? Absolutely not. You know, getting tight jeans, it's not my style, right? But nowadays, I talk to my wife, and it's funny. This kept coming out of my screen. I'm like, Abercrombie & Fitch, their estimates are humongous, right? The fundamentals look good, but their story behind how they evolved. You know, to be a lot more inclusive to different size of individuals like myself or like my wife or anyone else, right? So it just wasn't set to that one person. Because right in the beginning, remember, Amber Conference will always like showing those guys with the six-pack, perfect shape. That who is that, right? Like, that was probably Justin back when we did level two, looking all sharp and everything like that. But
I think you had to go further back than that. That was back in my swimming days, right? You know?
So, talk to my wife, and she starts saying, yeah, these jeans are comfortable. You know, it's funny. Allie and I did, Allie, our host for IBD Live and Bears Live, came out on the screen, and I got all excited because I had this stock, and I liked the way it was trading. It's a retail, and we both know that retail and tech is where the money's really made in a really strong market. And I took a chance with it, and I got confirmation from the wife that this was a strong brand. They were doing some good stuff, and they revamped themselves. And look at it. It's been hugging that. If you go to the daily chart, it's been hugging that 21-day moving average. Mm-hmm. Every time it touches that 21-day, which is a rule of mine, if it keeps touching it, you can either add to that position. But look at that textbook. Boom, 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 boom. Keeps going up. But the story behind it was what kept me going. And obviously when your wife's in your ear and you're telling how great this product is, I'm going to go with it as well.
Mm-hmm. Getting back to the market a little bit, let's talk a little bit about breadth, because you mentioned how many of those big cap leaders, you mentioned NVIDIA, you mentioned how a lot of them are still doing well. They're holding up. Really no problems to see here. But when you look at like the GMIAA on MarketSmith, which is the NYSE Advanced Decline Line, or the GMIAB, which is the NASDAQ, shows the NASDAQ Advanced Decline Line. I mean, when we had that November follow-through day, we all of a sudden had the breadth improving. It was trending above the 10-day moving average line. That's the pink line that Arush is pointing out on the charts. And you know, for those of you that want to watch the video, you can always do that at investors.com/podcast or find us on YouTube, our YouTube channel. But you know, trending above that 10-day moving average line. And then again, start of the year happens, actually a little bit before that. And these started, you know, now trending back below the 10-day moving average line. Is that a concern of yours that, hey, we're going back to this narrow market that we saw in 2023?
I'm looking at the moving average, but specifically, I'm looking at how IWM is going to react. Mm-hmm. Right. That's going to be my indicator as far as the breadth of the market. It is finding support at the 50-day right now. I am gauging that. I need that. Let me rephrase it. We need the IWM, the Russell 2000, the small cap, mid caps to really take get involved in this this uptrend. in order for this market to be sustained, right? I love the fact that we have the big caps leading the charge. These are the big names, right? The smart money's coming in, the institutions coming in. But at the same time, you have IWM, where I think a lot of it could also be getting hit because of the way the banks have been performing the earning mm-hmm. reports we're getting with banks as well.
Right.
And that caveat as well. I'm going to throw this out there. How many interest rates are we going to have? We don't like fighting the Fed. The Fed's going to control the market at the moment. So it just depends on a lot of different factors here. But until proven otherwise, we're getting that nice little pullback on the IWM. Even and again, I'm looking at the Russell 2000 as my gauge mm-hmm. to really, because I like keeping it simple. I want to see exactly where it's at and see how it reacts. But for the breadth of the market to really show strength, for this market to really show a lot of legs, for us to have that really strong, multi, to see these like 10 baggers come in, you're going to need them to play ball as well.
So as long as the Russell holds and the IWM holds the 50-day, we're okay. But if it starts to break it, are you going to change your tune a little bit?
Absolutely.
Okay.
The facts change. And that's one of the things that happens. When the facts start changing, I'm only interpreting what's taking place every day. Every day, one of the greatest lines I've ever heard Bill said is like, every day I wake up, I don't know what the market's going to do. And that's what's taking place right now. I'm seeing that type of action. Had a great run up. It's pulling back. We'll see how it reacts. But again, I need it for it. I need the Russell 2000 to really jump into that and start taking place. And you can see that in the last 2 weeks has been a little funny as far as the way the price action or the indices have been acting for the IWM.
And I guess the other alternative, if it is one of those, again, like what we saw in 2023, where the Russell really wasn't participating for most of it, and it was regulated to that Magnificent Seven, then that just kind of tells you where to put your money.
And it tells you a lot about the Fed. Last year, the Fed just, what we saw last 2023 was like a black swan event. I mean, 11 or 12 increases, and they kept coming and coming and coming. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of like, I mean, who projected that? Everyone kept saying, it's not going to happen.
Remember when it was transitory? Inflation was transitory.
Yeah. There were so many things out there. And I kept looking at the charts and there was a lot of fear out there. But the IWM hasn't done anything for a while. Yeah. I think it's its turn. But I believe in order for this market, and I believe this market, as long as the Fed acts right and maybe, we do get those cuts, will be very, very successful. You're going to see a lot of these small mid caps start taking off. We will be talking about a lot of these small mid cap stocks in the next 6 months, 3 months to 6 months.
As for the daily, if we go back to the daily on either the NASDAQ or the S&P 500, talk to us a little bit about distribution. Distribution day is something that we kind of track. And, that's where you have a day that is down more than 0.2%. Volume increases from the previous day. NASDAQ has kind of skirted. I mean, it's gotten close a number of times where it's maybe been down enough, but maybe the volume wasn't heavy, or maybe it was not down quite, quite as much as it needed to be, but volume was really heavy. The S&P 500, the distribution starting to pile up a little bit there. I think we have five distribution days as of yesterday. I don't know that the volume is going to get there today, but I mean, if it did, this would be a distribution day here. So what's kind of your take on this distribution count that's been increasing lately?
Historically, I mean, we're dealing with the month of January. Month of January is always confusing, right? Mm-hmm. It's one of those months where you're getting that rebalance. A lot of, you're getting a lot of portfolio managers looking to buy stocks that they saw happening. Now they're getting it in the first couple of weeks in January. And one of the things I learned, working with our market huddles, Arusha, where we're known for back in the day.
Well, actually, maybe explain the market huddle.
Yeah, explain that.
The market huddles is something that Arusha and I were privileged to back, I would say, 5 or 7 years working closely with Scott O'Neill, Bill O'Neill's son. And he would have these market huddles, and he would explain to us the ins and out of how long it takes for a portfolio manager to initiate a full position on stocks. It takes a couple of months, 2 to 3 months on average. So I'm always having that in the back of my mind when they start initiating, because they want to get the best price. Another thing is they're going to be looking at the moving average lines as well. But the market huddles really allowed Arusha and I to get a better grasp of Bill's approach, his philosophy in looking at charts, because who else to share this with us than his son? Right. And Scott did a phenomenal job doing that.
He was running money at the time.
And he was running money. He was running money at a time. And then when the market was good, you would hear the door slam and just kind of like showtime kind of thing. And, you know, you just always knew. But he would come out and pull us together, group us together for an hour and start explaining the market. We were we had the opportunity, the privilege to go through the Great Recession and how bad the market could get with Scott O'Neill as like our like a mentor, like a teacher, like a guy, like wisdom, right, kind of thing. And he would literally gather us around a computer screen. It's like, look at Apple. Look at this. Look how bad it can get. This is why you cut your losses. This is why we sell off the 50-day. This is how bad it can get. And we saw that in live. And me, you know, this was 12, what was that, 16 years ago kind of thing. I was kind of like, huh? Right? You just have this reaction like, I'm like running back to my dad's like, so, you know, kind of thing. And Arusha was with us. Scott Sinclair now was with us as well. It was an amazing time. The knowledge that we learned was phenomenal. And the way everyone, and I would talk to a lot of our clients, and I say this because I probably talked to maybe 15,000 plus individual retail investors, right? That's a fact. Mm-hmm. Right. And they always wanted to hear what was happening behind the curtain at O'Neill. They wanted a peek. They always wanted to get at the market huddles where it was happening. We were learning how to interpret charts. We were learning how to manage our risk. Right. We were learning how to become a better investor, not to just plunge in. Right. We would take our time, develop your position. And one of the things also I learned is make that stock prove to you that it deserves more of your hard work money. Mm-hmm. Right. And it was a beautiful moment. One of the things that I think Arusha and I and Scott talk about sometimes, those great times, because, you know, Scott O'Neill really took that knowledge that he gained from his father. And he shared it with us. He didn't have to do that, but right. He would share any chance he had, any chance he got. If there was a learning lesson, he would pull us together, look at the market. This is what we do, and it was just kind of like, wow, right?
Yeah, and Arnie. Well, I mean, if you hear Arnie, because Arnie's on IB Live every week, a lot of those phrases, and I know he's aware of it, but a lot of those phrases that he says, and I used to always say on videos, they came from Scott O'Neill just telling us every day, over and over, take a look at the weekly charts, weeklies first, all these kind of things. It was really from Scott O'Neill, and he took all that time to share with us. It wasn't just once, it was every day. It was pretty amazing for over an hour, right?
And I have this story real quick. I'd be looking at a daily chart. Sometimes I get a little, I'm young, gunslinger kind of thing. Yeah. I want to make my money kind of thing. And I have a daily or intraday. Why are you looking at a daily or intraday chart? Weeklies first, weeklies first, in front of every weeklies first. Yeah. Right. You know, and it just got ingrained in me. So when I'm on IBD Live, I'm sharing with you what I learned in those market hubs. I'm sharing with you 20 years of just observing the market. I'm sharing with you all the level twos I've done with Arusha, with even on stage with Justin, even on stage with Scott Sinclair, on stage with Scott O'Neill. And I've put everything together. Now I'm learning how to formulate my everything in a way that I can pass this knowledge down, right? Because this is the way we were taught. And everyone's like, oh, if I – and the ones, the hardcore daily graphs, Marcus Smith users, were like, I wish I could just be there just for like one day and just hear what you guys hear and stuff like that. And just giving you a little sneak peek of the curtain, there was a lot of market huddles. We would talk about the economy, stocks, specific stocks. When it got bad, when there was a learning lesson come in, he'd jump out of the office, pull up XYZ. This is how bad it could get, or this is how what you should be doing, this type of stock kind of thing. And that's where my knowledge comes from. And there's only one approach I have. It's Bill O'Neill's approach, the Ken Slim way. Weeklies first, weeklies first, weeklies first. And if you ever get a chance to see me in IBD Live, you're going to hear me say weekly. I need the weekly chart. I cannot make a decision unless I'm looking at the price volume, price and volume action of the weekly chart. And then I get a little bit of comfortable and then I pull into the daily.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get into some of these lessons that you learned from the market huddles and kind of the beginning of your start here in learning how to read charts when we come back. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Join the Wall Street Journal at the Future of Everything Festival on May 21st to 23rd in New York City, where diverse global newsmakers share unique perspectives on navigating a changing world. immerse yourself in live performances, explore pioneering technologies, and indulge in the city's inventive culinary scene. As a podcast listener, enjoy 20% off current ticket rates with code PODCAST. Visit wsj.com/FOEF podcast to secure your spot.
Welcome back to the Investing with IBD podcast. It's Justin Nielsen here, along with Arusha Pierce, who joins me every week. He's a portfolio manager over at O'Neill Global Advisors. And of course, our special guest this week is Arnie Gutierrez. He's a senior premium products coach, been with us for a long time. And of course, you know, you were talking about how you kind of got that weeklies first really drummed in your head. But, you know, back, you know, at the beginning for you, at the start, you know, there was a guy that kind of introduced you to the cup with handle. You know, tell us about that story.
Yeah, you know, it's when I first started. It was probably the first 6 months, I want to say. I'm taking you back to 2004, 2005. My memory could be a little off. But I was in my cubicle, and someone behind me comes up, and he starts looking at the charts. And he asked me, he goes, pull up the – he liked pulling up the weekly new high report.
Yeah,
in Daily Grass. We're going to Daily Grass before Market Smith, right? And I would pull it up, and he goes, okay, space bar. I'm space bar into this. I'm thinking about my, who is this guy? I'm thinking he's a programmer or something, right? He's by my, okay, yeah. He goes, stop. And I stop. He goes, pull up the weekly chart. And then you see, start looking at the volume. He gets in there. He starts looking at the price. You can just tell that mind is working, right? And he goes, you see that cup with handle? And I look at him and go, cup with handle, where? You know, I'm learning about a cup with handle. I'm thinking cup with handle, you know, I don't see it, but you see it. I guess it's there, right? And he goes, this is a good one. This is a cup. And he walks away, very casual, jeans, shirt, this and that. And then I asked him, who is this guy? Is he a programmer? He goes, no. He goes, that's Bill O'Neill. He goes, that is the master, that is the guru kind of thing. And when he described it that way, because Bill will always be downstairs, we were upstairs, right? Yeah. With Daily Graphs. And I appreciate that, but what I got from that whole experience was how he looked at the price bar and the volume bar and how it would react around the base. And I'm like, I wanted to ask him, eventually started reading more. I read the book five times and started realizing he was looking for some type of price consolidation, and he was looking for price action and volume action to be on the same page. You know, if it's pulling back on low volume, if it's moving up on a high above average volume, so forth, to find that support. But it was just a great experience. I saw it live. I saw greatness. And when you're around greatness, you just understood, wow, that's what he was looking for.
Yeah. And it also brings up another interesting lesson. And I think this is something that I learned when I started in house, because I was a customer for many years. And back then I was a customer in 2004, 2005. But you'll use a screen. He pulled up the weekly new high report, which is in MarketSmith. We brought those over from Daily Graphs years ago. But you're after that, once you pull up a screen or pull up a report, you're a lot of times you're first looking at the technicals to see if there is a setup. Now we have pattern recognition and things like that that make it easier. But that was kind of something interesting where you're going through a lot of charts. And then if you see a setup, if you see a cup with handle, now you start digging in further. What are the ratings? How what's the story? Things like that. And that, and you start keep filtering it down that way. But it's really interesting. It enables you to look at a lot of stocks in a short amount of time and really focus on the ones that have potential.
And Arusha, to add to that, he would look at the technicals on the weekly chart and he'll look at the fundamentals. That's the beauty of the chart that he created. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a work of art. It's the fundamentals and on one side and the technicals on the other side. And he went back and forth and he was able to see this was a winning stock. This was something that I wish I remember which stock he was, but I was kind of like, who is this guy kind of thing. I should have shown him a lot more respect. I'm like, you know, in my mind, I thought, you don't have a computer. You don't have a. <what's going on?"
laughs> Yeah. But Arnie, let's go into kind of that. You brought up the weekly chart of MarketSmith. Mm-hmm. Maybe just briefly just talk about, because Bill O'Neill designed that weekly chart, and he designed it for everyday people like us.
Very specific.
Exactly. So talk a little bit about, you know, what made that weekly chart so special.
What over the years, in the beginning, the first, and this takes a couple of years to get used to weekly charts, you guys. It's not going to happen overnight because we're fixed to go with quick money. Everyone thinks the stock market is, you know, you buy it here, it's supposed to go up. It doesn't work like that. Good trading is boring, right? And that's the beauty behind the weekly chart. It keeps you away from getting shaken out. Now, what he was able to do was he was able to capture the whole story of a company through those specific data points, and he never changed. Those data points that you see that took years of studying since 1880, he went back and started studying the winning stocks. And if you ask him, and this question was asked when he would come in and give speeches with our research staff as well, because we're all in the same room. He was like, everything that you need to know to make a decision on the on a company is going to be on the weekly chart. And he would always emphasize that. And if he said it, that's law, right? For me, it was just kind of, that's it. Right. And it's so true. It just kept you informed. It kept you in tune with the in a very pure, the price action of a stock. You did not get shaken out, and shakeouts were becoming more and more common with high frequency trading. Right. We started hearing about these algorithms. Technology started improving. And this was back in like 2008, 2000. Everything started getting faster. Smartphones, Androids, the app. You can make trades very quickly. Algorithms were being created. Right. And the weekly chart kept you in. If you look at, and I tell this to everyone, especially when I'm coaching, I'm like, if you compare that stock now, now pull up the daily chart, two different worlds.
Yeah.
You would have left, you would have sold out of that one. You would have not slept. And this is just another example. You would not have slept with this daily chart. But if you look at the weekly chart, you'd have been perfectly fine. Oh, okay. Nice pullback, lower volume. Okay. As it's going up, volume's picking up. As it's going down, volumes drying up, which is a great sign. So those are little clues on why, and then the reason why is he didn't look at other types of, and he really rarely never looked at other indicators, because Scott, and how I know Scott would look at price and volume, right? Volume was the emotion of the buying part, and we looked at the weeklies all the time.
Mm-hmm. You know, talk a little bit more about this whole idea of the emotional component of investing, because I mean, that's one of the things that I think a lot of people struggle with at first is, you know, you're putting your hard earned money, you know, into this, and you're getting tossed to and fro sometimes. And, you know, sometimes it's hard and you've got all this noise out there telling you, oh, this is going on. These people are bullish. This is bearish. Or you've got sometimes a lot of indicators, you know, the MACDs are giving you a bullish signal and the stochastics are giving you a bearish signal and, you know, the, you know, what have you. So can you talk a little bit about the emotional component?
Yeah. The emotion component is something that took me years to master. I'm a very emotional person. It's funny. Ali call it the goody giddy kind of thing. When you get excited, you're making all this money, right? Or you're having a good a week in the market. The biggest thing I think what made Bill so great was his discipline. And I hear stories of how disciplined he was. And Justin, you know that you work very, very closely with them, how disciplined he was. And Scott would tell me story, how disciplined he was, but whether he was up or down, you wouldn't be able to tell. You couldn't tell. Right. And he was careful he was careful on the news, what was happening in a company. He would be very careful what the analyst was saying, because that could judge your way of thinking. One thing I learned is in the beginning, I used to be like, what do you think of this stock? What do you think of that stock? What do you think of that stock? And I used to get like different answers, and that got into my head, right? That would have an effect on how I manage my position, right? I didn't have that conviction. So what I realized, in order for me to have that conviction, hold on to the stock, and if I believed in the company, because if I bought a stock, I believed in the company, right? I did my research. I found out the story that it had. Was it changing the way we do things, changing the way we live? But if you didn't have that conviction, you would have been shaken out very easily. The emotional side was very, very important. It would make or break you when it comes to holding a stock, and especially the way we bought our stocks, our system here at IBD, we were very aggressive investors. You know, we buy high, sell higher. Mm-hmm. And a lot of retail investors didn't feel comfortable with that, with that approach in investing. So, the emotion side is something that takes years to master. You have to trust the data. You have to trust the patterns And in the end, you have to answer certain questions about a specific company. Is it changing the way we do things? Is it changing the way we live? And if you can say yes, everything will fall in line. But at the same time, you also have to be patient. Don't go after stocks. Let the stocks come to you. Don't buy overextended stocks. There's a right way of timing the market. And that was one of the big things about Bill when he would do he would say, you can time the market. The market can be timed. That's why we look at distribution days. That's why we look at patterns. And we're looking for above average volume when it goes through that resistance level into new highs.
Yeah. Now, Arnie, we all like worked at Money Shows and Traders Expos over the years, right? Working with
a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah. And one thing, and aren't you? I remember you brought this up years ago when we were at one of these events. There are a lot of different platforms out there, right? Tons of companies out there, nice charting platforms, sophisticated charting platforms.
Yeah.
But a lot of people would come and once they would see that MarketSmith chart, they would, with their first reaction, like, wow, this is so simple. It's so clean. It's so different from all the others.
Yes. I would get excited. Arusha and I would, you know, we'd get on stage, we'd talk about the MarketSmith. And for some reason, a lot of investors like making it complicated. They like getting the secondary indicator, which is perfectly fine if it fits your personality, fits your style. But what Bill O'Neill did was he created a very clean and simple chart, easy to follow, above average volume. He uses the 50-day average volume. Is it above average or below the average? Is there some type of base being formed? And for the, which is another way of saying some type of price consolidation. They're buying it there and they're consolidating. And is it being bought by institutions? Bill was a big believer, is it being bought by institutions? And where MarketSmith takes it to that next level is like, now we're highlighting for you with the IBD Mutual fund index, the quality of ownership as well. There were some real talented individuals out there who were like the Michael Jordans of their peers, the Ted Williams. And, you know, this is what we call smart money. If it's good enough for them, it's good enough for me kind of thing. And it made things a lot easier. And it gave you that conviction. Again, all this data is what we're doing is how simple you can process this information. Investing, if I had to go back after 20 years, investing doesn't have to be complicated. It's scary for the average retail investor. I have conversations with friends. You know, they talk about real estate. They talk about the market. I start hearing about crypto. I don't trade anything I don't understand. I will not buy a stock of a company that I don't understand their model either. If I had it, just keep it simple, be patient. But the simplicity of our charts is where we were, a lot of the attendees of the money show were drawn to. And it's keeping it simple. What made Bill O'Neill so great is how he took something very complicated and he wrote about it in his book, How to Make Money in Stock, and he shared it with everyone. Mm-hmm. So.
Maybe talk a little bit about the evolution of the product. Since you've been there for so long, right? Going from the daily graphs, print to the online to MarketSmith. Talk a little bit about that evolution that you've seen.
You know, it's funny. I just a couple of days ago got off the phone with someone that's been with us since 1976. Printed product. Internet wasn't around. Loved the books. He would get so excited. He felt Christmas was every weekend when he'd get the blue and the green book of charts, about 2,400 charts he'd deliver. And he would quickly go through them looking for specific technicals, like Arusha, how you mentioned that before. But we took that foundation and they came up with Daily Graphs Online, right? Now, Daily Graphs Online was a charting tool. And we knew there was something there where retail investors were going to start getting into the market, but they needed this type of like a professional grade for a professional product, right? But for retail investors, that's what I'm trying to say. And that was Daily Graphs. We fit that little niche there, right? They understood what charting was about. They understood that market was supply and demand. They understood that price action. There was consolidation there. That's how they were going. So Arusha and I, myself, Scott Sinclair, Scott O'Neill, a couple other individuals no longer with us over the years. This was back in, I want to say maybe 2010.
Yeah.
Got together. We took everything that we've learned from Daily Graphs to print. We took everything we learned from Daily Graphs Online and we came up with MarketSmith, right? And our clients would send in emails. This is what I'm looking for. But guess what never changed? The weekly chart, right? We had the most amount of subscribers. We understood that because routine was the most powerful thing you can have in the stock market. There's a comfort zone. There's clients that tell me, I only look at specific data points. I'm comfortable just looking at, I like how they look. And that's where we came at. And the evolution was, yeah, we made little enhancements over the years to make it easier. But the foundation comes from the book of how to make money in stocks. And it's a reincarnation in MarketSmith. And this system has been proven to work for the last 60 years, 70 years. But yeah, it went from the printed product to Daily Graph Selling to MarketSmith. And Rushi and I would sit, and Scott Sinclair would sit in the conference and like, what do you think of this? Remember, Rushi, those days
we
had?
Yeah.
Should we make it easier? Should we revamp the custom screen wizard? But the whole point was keeping it simple. And one of the things that we were taught was in any type of product you have, it's always product first. When you're developing when you start developing a MarketSmith team, product first, and everything else will come together.
Mm-hmm. And it's so funny that you mentioned, you know, all of these concepts, because, you know, the reality is there are a lot of ways to make it complicated. But, you know, part of what made Bill so great in terms of his discipline was that he had the routine too, you know, and again, that kind of keeps the emotions out of it. You don't, you know, say, oh, well, the market doesn't look good, so I'm not going to do my screening today because the market, you know, stinks. You still go through your routine. And that way, when there's a turn happening, you're going to find those stocks like that are starting to turn. And so there's a lot to be said for being able to build that routine. And again, having a way to do that with, you know, everything you need in one place. And, you know, that did translate from the printed product because, you know, Bill, I mean, he was flipping pages, you know,
yeah.
And then, you know, instead of flagging something like you do now on MarketSmith, he was ripping the page out. And that was his way of flagging it. And he'd have the stack of, okay, these are the ones that I've, you know, marked up and, you know, the ones that look interesting, the cup with handles and everything like that. So to kind of wrap a bow on this one, Arnie, if you could just, you know, boil down all these, you know, at this point, decades of experience that you've got, you know, besides Weekly First, because we know that's what you're going to say.
I love saying it.
So anything else you want to kind of close on here?
Yeah, it's this. The routine, the way we came up with MarketSmith, with the back in the end, from a big picture perspective, two things are going to happen. We understood first the importance of a research routine. Okay, yeah. We've had subscribers for years, 10, 20, 30 years. We did not want to lose them, right? And there was two things that we wanted to make sure we guaranteed. And I never use the word guarantee whenever I talk about the stock market. Is it's going to save you time with the screening that we added, right? Save you time. And it's going to help you make higher probability decisions on stocks. Not to say we don't have a crystal ball. It's going to help you make better decisions. And those are two things that MarketSmith does. How do I know that? When I used to travel around the country with Arusha, you, Justin, Scott Sinclair, Scott O'Neill, I would have people come up to me. And this made me feel good. And thank us. Remember, Arusha, thank you for creating such a great, thank you. This was amazing. This changed my life. And it came from whether you were a lawyer, a doctor, a waiter. It came from everyone. And I would see their face and it would be genuine. And it had such a good feel. I'm like, wow. Like, I'm actually changing lives here, right? The way we did it, because we have that impact, especially we're dealing with people's hard-earned money. And that's the beauty behind it.
Yeah. Does remind me of some of those trips we took. Never forget those trips to Smoky Bones, but that's something we can save for another, day. So when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the stocks that maybe are on Arnie's radar, not just because of what they are today, but also some of those stocks that were really what kind of set him apart at the very beginning of his career. So stay tuned. We'll be right back for that.
Your Money Briefing will explore what you need to know to become a homeowner and how to sustain your home by learning ways to manage the costs from unexpected expenses.
You're basically always in a state of checking. You're always keeping your eye open for anything that could be going wrong with your house. Your house is a complicated machine. It has a lot of systems and components in it, and those systems and components are getting older. They're wearing out.
You can get early access to our series, Buying a Home and Keeping It, on WSJ Special Access, only for WSJ subscribers.
Welcome back to Investing with IBD. It's Justin Nielsen here, along with Arusha Pieris, who is a portfolio manager at O'Neill Global Advisors. He joins me every week. And also, back from the past, of Arusha's past, you know, back when he was in the Market Smith area every day. It's Arnie Gutierrez, who is a senior premium product coach. Man, and back in 2016, 2015, I think we spent quite a bit of time upstairs together. You know, I was there briefly outside of Scott's office.
Yeah,
we were getting in trouble sometimes being too loud when all the time. But let's get into some stocks here. And
yeah.
Where do you want to start here?
I'm going to bring it back, and I'm going to share with you my first love, my first stock, my first buy, how I fell in love with CanSlim, kind of, and it was Monster, but before that it was called Hansen.
Hansen's Natural.
Natural right. Corp, right?
Before they came up with one of the most unnatural beverages ever, right?
Bought it in and I'm going to hit you with this. I bought it in September of 2005 off a double bottle, okay? And there was a 2-for-1 split there. It was one of these stocks that I bought it, you know, remember I'm very young out of college. I went to UCSB and econ, and I'm trying to put everything together. I think I know the market, I know the economy, but I kept it real simple. And I kept realizing I love these drinks. And I'm talking about, I would buy like 15, 20 at a time, and they were expensive.
Oh my God.
I traded, they were 15, 20 at a time. They were expensive. Trader Joe's, was around, and, I would love this drink. And one of the things I kept hearing over and over again, and Peter Lynch would talk about in his book, One Up on Wall Street, you know, trade what you know kind of thing, right? And I decided to go with that. And I used the CanSlim approach. The fundamentals look good. The technicals look good. And I'm going to buy it at an all-time high. I want to buy it low, but I want to make sure it's true. This was my first stock. It was one of those things where when I bought it, I was really proud of it because it kept going and it kept hugging that 10-week line, and it gave me no reason to sell. And it was actually my first triple-digit gain.
Yeah. So let's take a look at the chart here. If we could put that up, you know, certainly one of the things that, you know, kind of sticks out again, as you said, this just really held the 10-week moving average line. And I just want to be clear, the drinks that you were buying, were they the Hansen's Natural, or a lot of this move was from Monster, you know, right, when they came out with that beverage? Were you buying 20 Monsters? Arnie, you don't need 20 Monsters.
No.
Okay. I'm just
a little scary.
If I was buying 20, I'd still be single. no one can have in a room, right?
We're showing where you got it. Right around 14.
It was Hansen. I thought I was sophisticated now. You know, yeah. Hansen was one of those drinks.
And remember, it's Hansen soda. Natural because
No, I love it, had different flavors.
Yeah.
But one of the things I said when I bought it, as you're pointing to that there, I saw that volume pickup. It was that classic volume pickup, and I'm looking for above average volume, right? Mm-hmm. That's something that we harp on. When you have a stock that's going through that consolidation, breaks through that 50 day moving, breaks through that resistance to new highs on above average volume, game on, right? Mm-hmm. That's what happened, and I held, and it followed personality. And then around this time, I started reading and I started attending level ones. There were a lot of they would encourage at O'Neill for you to attend the level ones, level twos, when you were there working. And I start hearing about the personality of a stock. Make sure it's following the moving average lines. If you're going to initiate, add to your position, add to a very high probability place where like a 10-week moving average line on low volume. And that was kind of like how I fell into like a zone. You know how in the movie, I won't go into that, but you fell into that zone and I was doing everything right. Just kept following. I'd wake up every morning. How's it trading? And I would look at weekly charts. I wouldn't look at the daily charts. Just pay attention to the weekly charts. And it just kept going and it just found support and it took me all the way up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what? An interesting thing here. I'm just kind of curious as to when you got out of this, because I remember there was a while back where Jonathan Howard, who, you know, we were putting together presentations, and he's like, why do we even talk about the climax top? Climax tops don't happen, you know, anymore. And if you look at May 10th, 2006, it was a birthday present for me. You know, Hansen's Natural went through a climax top right there. And it was like, you know, picture perfect. Where do you remember where you were getting out?
Yeah, it's when it broke the 50 day for 3 weeks straight on the 10 week, and they had a nice run again. So I left some on the table.
Oh, so over here,
it was a little. I got scared out. I was like, wait a minute, 3 weeks down, and I did not follow the 8-week rule. You see that power flag there, right? Yeah. Kind of thing. You probably would have thought about it. But when I saw 3 weeks of it coming down and then it took another run up, mm-hmm. that was a mental note. But because of that experience, though, now there's a rule I have in place that when I get that pullback, I'm going to be a little bit more cautious because I wasn't at the maturity level to say, give it a little bit more space. I've earned the right to hold on to the stocks a little bit more, mm-hmm. Which came later, that type of mentality of investing. And I went back to my post analysis and I saw it and it had another more run up. Did I sell at the top? No. But one of the things I realized now, looking back, you're never going to sell at the top. Right. I'm just trying to capture for those of you that are becoming retail investors or you guys getting into this game, this thing, you're never going to sell it at the top. You're never going to buy it at the bottom. It is what it is. You just want to at least capture. If you can capture 70-80% of a stock move, you're going to be golden. You're going to do extremely well in the market. There may be some bad years now, and that's what you're going to have to learn as well. But when you do have a stock, give it a little bit more room. These are like model book stocks that have really nice moves.
Mm-hmm. And it's a good reminder that sometimes if you find yourself out of a stock that, you know, you get shaken out and it turns around and starts moving again, you can always buy it back. It's, you know, something that a lot of people, you know, struggle with, like, oh, but I sold it down here. How could I buy it back at a higher price?
See, and another mistake I made a rookie mistake was I would just close the position instead of cutting it in half because I had a profit mm-hmm. cushion, right? And yeah. I'm like, can it go up any higher? Like in your mind, when you're first starting out, it can. Stocks can continuously go up higher and higher and higher.
Mm-hmm. So let's go to current day, then, right? Yeah. Well, let's go to the current day, right? Who knows if this is the new monster, but there are some parallels here.
Celsius. Yeah, I'm looking at this here. This has had a great run. We had that 2-for-3-for-1 split. I have this. I have a position in this stock, as you can see that here, and it's forming that right side of the right side of that base there, Arusha, and it's telling me there's smart money coming into this. The way it's trading, it still has a lot of room. There is that overhead supply of those that want to break even. But the fundamentals look great. The technicals look great. You know, the accumulation distribution range is at a C, and the up-down volume ratio, which I'm a big fan of, is at a 0.7. So, you know, it's slowly but surely, but stealthily going up. You can see the blue little skyscrapers that are still below average, but still, accumulating on the right side there. This is something that, because of my experience with Hansen, I'm looking at Celsius as something like that. Very, very similar. Very, you know, the drink that a lot of I'm seeing it more and more in different with 7-Elevens to, to Target, to Ralph's, to Vons, and so forth.
Have you tried it, the drink?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. You know, what's funny is I take a drink and I lose 1 pound. So it's just amazing. That's right.
It's just that easy.
It's a calorie burning.
I'm down a pound. I'm fasting. I tell my wife I'm fasting. She's like, what'd you do? I took a Celsius.
Yeah, there you go. and you know, it's interesting that you bring up the parallels. I remember, you know, gosh, this might have been 10 years ago when Scott O'Neill did a presentation and he would kind of break down an industry group. And one of the industry groups he did was the beverage industry, right? And, you know, so we talked about Coca-Cola and, you know, and Hanson Natural and, you know, a number of these, I can't remember the root beer stock, but, you know, those similarities. And one of the things that, you know, was really interesting about Celsius was when they got that distribution part, you know, in play and you started seeing it, you know, like it was one of those things where, okay, you'd see it every now and then it was like, boom, now you're seeing it everywhere at the gym, at the grocery store, its own little section, you know, and everything. So amazing how some of those things just, you know, repeat themselves over and over.
And what's great is when I go to the gym and I'm looking at the vending machines, they're like almost all out. And when you start seeing little signs like that, and they're paying premium for that, it's just like, wait a minute, there's something here, you know, as far as getting ready to get the workout in. So it's always nice. But going back to my investment approach and what Bill has taught us as investors, you're going to do really well looking at retail and tech. You know, those are the ways to go.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of tech, let's talk about the big daddy, NVIDIA.
I'm bringing up NVIDIA because this is something when I travel when I used to travel the country 5-6 years ago, we'd go all over the country to Arusha with Justin, speak at the money shows. I get on stage and I would use NVIDIA. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I would use NVIDIA, this was 10 years ago, we're still talking about NVIDIA. That's how powerful and strong, and the trend is for this stock, right? And it came out in the growth 250. It was at $36. I didn't understand what NVIDIA's concept was, the whole business model, but I knew this. It's when at first, when you started hearing about artificial intelligence, AI 10 years ago, and you started hearing about this, all they do, we did a whole study on the CEO. That's all they do. The chip, artificial intelligence, the chip, artificial, and it took 10 years for it to get to where it's at now. Now, I bought that stock at 36 when it broke out of the Growth 250 markets with premium report, the Growth 250. And I think I sold it like at 88. I'm thinking, okay, it's 88. Things at $500.
It's double, yeah.
You start seeing this is the power of stocks when you find something that are changing the way we do things, changing the way we live. This is the type of action you want to see, right? The same way Netflix took out Blockbuster. Right. Mm-hmm. There's an evolution to this, and we would get on stage and talk about it. But what I'm trying to get at is this: when you have a stock and you think it cannot go up higher, it can. Okay. It can. You have to be patient. And that's one of the things I've been struggling with the last couple of years. For some reason, it came back, then patience came back again. So this year, for my resolution, my trading rules is being patient, giving it room. Mm-hmm. And letting it evolve. And if it does something wrong, and not get greedy either, and learn how to manage my risk as well, right? Because that old adage, pigs get slaughtered, right? But I did sell early, and I wish I had more foresight, more conviction in this stock.
Well Arnie, in fairness to you, I mean, we did go through a bear market then too, right? So
yeah,
mm-hmm. You don't always have to be in it, but you always should have it.
We did, and absolutely, I covered, and I'm thinking to myself, yay, I'm covering this and that, but there it goes again, has more legs. It's not done,
right?
Mm-hmm. And and you can see it once it takes the 200-day, as we get that pullback, it's good. Once it takes that found support around that 200-day onto the, it's gone. It's one of those stocks. I do have a big position in this stock. This is in my 401k long term. And another thing is for new investors, retail investors, know your time frame, right? Exactly where you're at with everything, because the big money is made sitting, and you don't want to get shaken out.
And manage your risk, and
absolutely,
and I have a position in it too. So
yeah, and as do I. And just real quick to kind of understand where this first got on your radar. Are you talking about when it was coming out at 36 back in like 2016, like March 2016? Was that the area, or are you talking about 36 back in 2019? Because remember, this had a 4-for-1 split.
Yeah.
No. This was back in 2016.
Yeah, 2016. It came out of a cup with handle.
Yeah.
This was actually one of the first things we put on Swing Trader at, I think we put on Swing
Trader. Yeah, it was back then, because we were all talking. Here's the thing. Here was the beauty behind it. And Rich, I'm going to take you back when the area that we worked in, it was kind of like a hallway. It was like a startup hallway. And we would all conversate, and there was so much knowledge. And we would look at this. We would look at this stock. And we talked about NVIDIA. This is a game changer right here. And we saw it. And there it goes. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm. It was awesome.
And a lot of it was actually before, people were talking that much about AI. It was really kind of the gaming. It was the graphic processing unit.
Yeah,
exactly.
Most powerful chip.
When you look at gaming, I mean, when you compare it to the pixelated stuff, or back in the day with Pong, the movement, how realistic the movement looks. The calculations that are required to make that movement smooth, the vector calculations and everything like that. It's incredible how much calculating power you need, how many calculations per second, and all that. And that's what NVIDIA was doing back then. And it just so happened that, hey, guess what? When you do AI, you need a lot of calculations per second too. So it kind of got, I personally thought this was done in 2018, when it went through that, 2018 thing. I thought it was done, it came back. And I mean, certainly in 2022, that was a pretty brutal pullback. What was it? 70 something percent.
Yeah.
It came back. So, well, hey, Arnie, it was great having you on, man. Of course, for folks that are digging what Arnie's saying, if you haven't tried IBD Live, he's a regular on there. Arusha, comes on. What, you're once a month now, right, Arusha?
On what?
On IBD Live.
No.
Or no, not that often.
I used to be, but yeah.
Used to be once a month, but yeah. He's had a scale back, but certainly, you know, Arnie shares a lot of stories as he's on every week. So that's certainly something you can join us for. That's at investors.com/IBD Live if you ever want to try a trial there. But hey, thanks a lot for joining us, Arnie. It was really great having you on, man.
Thank you for having me. Had a great time. Always, you know, we go back. So it was just a little big party right here we had going on.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah. Next time we'll tell some more stories of your first time on stage, but because that was fun.
That was a great one.
Yeah. So, but anyway, that's going to wrap it up for us this week. Thank you so much for joining us. Hey, next week, we're going to have Stephen Mulholland. He's the Chief Investment Officer at Mulholland and Cooperstock Asset Management. So we're going to check in with him, get some of his thoughts on the market, and we hope you join us for that. Thanks a lot for watching this week. We'll see you next time.
Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review our podcast if you haven't already. We'd really appreciate it. You can also send us your questions and comments to investingpodcast@investors.com. We would love to hear from you and may use your comments on an upcoming episode. This podcast is for informational and educational purposes only, and nothing should be construed as a recommendation to buy, hold, or sell any securities. Make sure to consider consulting with your financial advisor before making any investment decisions.